Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and it's Powering Your Property. I'm Howie Lim. A new record has been set with 23 HDB resale units changing hands for more than $1 million in February 2021. According to flash data from real estate portal SRX, a total of 36 resale flats were transacted above $1 million over the first 2 months of this year. That's a 350% surge from just 8 in the same period last year. And HDB resale prices continue to rise 8 straight months in February on lower volume, though. We're joined today by Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Realty, to find out more. Nick, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Holly.
So let's talk about, on average, how HDB resale prices rose 1.4% in February compared to the month before. And then year on year, the overall price 8.3% higher compared to February last year. What do you think is causing this steady increase? And can we see this peak maybe in the months to come?
Well, I think that the expansion of the HDB resale prices actually is an indication of the expectations of the buyers. They expect prices to continue to grow, but it also reflects the confidence that the Singapore population has in the economy, that the pandemic is something that will eventually pass, and people are looking forward to more job securities. And the other thing is also the fear of missing out. There are some buyers who may be concerned that prices could rise further, and so they enter the market, and some are prepared to pay above the valuation amount, which then caused this growth in prices to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But there are other factors that also contribute to this growth, and ironically, it is actually the COVID-19 pandemic, which actually kept many foreign workers confined to the dormitories, and this has actually caused a slowdown in the construction industry. And some of the flat buyers who might turn to the primary market, that means buying the flats directly from the government, are concerned. They are not sure when they will be able to take the keys to their new flats if they were to apply for this BTO, build-to-order flats. And so they turn to the resale market, which means that the demand in the resale market has increased, but supply, of course, is more inelastic. And as a result, it led to an increase in the HDB resale prices.
But HDB resale transactions fell, though, 13.4% from January this year to slightly above 2,100 units. And that's despite that bumper crop of million-dollar sales that we were talking about. How would you then describe February's performance? Will it pick up?
Well, I think it certainly will pick up, because February is where we celebrate the Lunar New Year for this year. And typically, during the Lunar New Year period or during Christmas, it's usually a lull period where people may take the time off, the decision makers may celebrate the holidays. And the other thing is that for resale properties, especially resale HDB flats, the buyers would want to visit the flats before they make up their mind whether or not to buy that flat. And during the festive period, people might not be opening up their flats for visitors. And as a result, we see a slower level of transactions. But this would change. There will probably be a rebound in the following months.
And we talked about this, Nick, as well. The government keeping a close watch on the property market. Have your observations changed? What do you think?
Well, I think the government over the span of the last few months has given warnings, and I think some of the messages is basically can be interpreted that they could intervene in the market if prices continue to expand. But most of these warnings are actually aimed at the private housing market. But depending on the kind of intervention that the government will undertake, there could also be spillover effect on the HDB resale market. And because the government over the last two budgets and of course three other supplementary budgets has actually spent a lot of money, they have come up with a lot of money from the country's coffers, and so they might be looking for ways to recover some of this by raising taxations. And one way is actually to tax property transactions. And looking at the record of all the fast cooling measures in the last decade or so, it has often been a taxation. It has some form of taxation or increase in stamp duty, like the additional buyer stamp duty, the seller stamp duty, and such. So if the government were to introduce more cooling measures, chances it will be another hike in some kind of stamp duties or taxation. But having said that, in my opinion, this is actually only keeping the lid on or slowing down the price growth for temporarily, a year or two or so, because the demand is still there. People are still looking for ways if they want to buy, if they want to invest in properties. And this is because the Singapore household income is increasing. People are looking for assets to invest. If they don't invest in the Singapore property market, they could be investing in the stock market or even overseas property. And so the money will go somewhere. And I think that this is something that perhaps the policymakers have to be mindful about.
But the government's aim is always to make public housing affordable. The National Development Minister, though, Desmond Lee, during the debates on his ministry's budget in Parliament last week, spoke about some ideas being looked at for the future public housing projects in prime locations. So, of course, once we say prime, it's wow. One of them was limiting the pool of resale buyers or imposing a longer MOP, minimum occupation period. How might this, though, affect current purchasing trends?
Well, I think that the prime locations that the government are referring to could be, for example, the Greater Southern Waterfront. And there has been a lot of debates about the way that one of the very prime projects, which is Pinnacles at Duxton, one of the tallest HDB flats
around. The 15 stories or something?
Yes. And how that it contributes to these lottery effects, which is that the people who were allocated the flats, subsequently, when they are eligible to sell the flats on the resale market, can reap a very high profit. Yeah. And I think the government is thinking about how to minimize this effect for the new public housing that could be built in the Greater Southern Waterfront, which is a very prime real estate because it's near to the city, as well as it has some of them will have seafronting views. And the question is how to create an inclusive community there that consists of both public housing and private housing, and how to minimize this lottery effect. Well, one way is actually to perhaps use some kind of income ceiling, both in the primary market as well as in the resale market, to make sure that it is actually available. This public housing is available to all, including the lower income group. Others might even suggest for the government to build rental flats that are subsidized and meant for really the lower income families to live there. Others include, like for example, longer minimum occupation period, although in my opinion, that has really limited effect because it is just kicking the can down the road. So for example, right now the MOP is 25 years. Suppose the government say, oh, you want to buy a HDB flat in the prime estate, they will increase it to say 7 years, but it just simply means that 7 years later, the flat owner can still sell at perhaps even a
premium,
bigger profit.
Yeah.
Yes, because by then the property price could have another 2 more years to expand. So it doesn't really solve this problem about rising flat prices. But I think this is something that the government will continue to examine. And when they have come up with a more comprehensive bundle of measures and safeguards, they could launch the public housing projects in those prime estates.
Let's talk about those million-dollar flats, though. That's already very mind-boggling for HDB resale. And then in the first 2 months of this year, it was 36 flats that went for more than $1 million. That's a 350% increase year-on-year. Do you see, though, this million-dollar flat sales trend hitting a record this year? In 2020, it was 82 of these flats. Also, why so expensive, Nicholas, to be honest?
Now, I think we need to take this whole thing in context. The million-dollar flats is actually a very small percentage, of the total transactions overall.
Sure.
So although they may seem mind-boggling, a decade ago, we don't have such HDB flats reaching $1 million. But if you look at it from another point of view, is that it actually reflects the success of Singapore's public housing system, doesn't it? It basically means that because 80% of the resident population here live in HDB flats, it means that Singaporeans are generally getting richer and richer. And yes, when you have this phenomenon and you've got this wide spectrum of people living in HDB flats, and also another indication is that our HDB flats are of very high quality. of very high quality and is well maintained. And that is one reason why some of them can be transacted at $1 million. And usually these $1 million flats have certain common characteristics. One is that they are fairly new, they are very well designed, and they are on very high floors, and they are typically 5-room flats, which means they have 3 bedrooms and also bigger living room area as well as dining area. And they are also very well renovated. They also have good views. So, and they are usually located within easy accessibility to public transportation nodes like MRT stations. So with all this bundled together, yes, some of them can transact at $1 million, but they are still a small percentage of the overall transactions. It doesn't mean that public housing is not affordable, because the government is still selling build-to-order flats, new flats for eligible home buyers at a discounted price. That means Singaporeans are able to still buy HDB flats at affordable price. It's just that there are some lucky Singaporean families who are able to sell their HDB flats at $1 million. But there must also be a word of caution to people who do buy this sort of $1 million flats, is that the upside might be limited. If you are already paying $1 million or even sometimes $1.2 million for flats, how much more can it grow? So I think buyers have to bear that in mind.
Thank you so much for your time and insights, Nicholas.
You're most welcome.
Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Realty. This has been Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.